Since the start of the fire season, more than 11 million hectares of bush, forest and parks across Australia have burned. In these areas, it is estimated that tens of thousands of significant Indigenous sites can be found, including many that have not been officially recorded, and presumably some that have not been rediscovered following the colonisation of this continent. Some of these sites and artefacts, according to Dr. Tina Mann, president of the Australian Archaeological Association, include scar trees and burial trees, which will most likely have been irrevocably damaged, rock art sites, which could or have been impacted by rock falls or soot damaging the paint, as well as shell middens, which, considering their organic makeup, will have been damaged on the surface at the very least. And with 65 fires still burning across New South Wales and Victoria, all of this is still up in the air, and important formal assessments mostly unable to be conducted.
It is important to try to get out and assess whether what sites have been damaged, and even if, for example, new sites might be found because there's increased visibility. But of course, that's quite difficult and complicated because of access. And these include safety concerns. So if an area has been burned, there might be trees that are still potentially burning for a long time afterwards or become unstable and then could fall over and injure a person at that site. And so we're quite restricted as archaeologists to be able to go in. We have to work with local authorities as well, and of course the traditional owners of those lands.
One area that has been visited is a rock art site west of Armidale on the New South Wales Northern Tablelands, which is among 17 significant sites on Anawan country. Traditional custodians Steve Ahoy and Callum Clayton Dixon were accompanied by University of New England archaeologists June Ross and Mark Moore, the latter of whom described the situation as being uncharted.
Well, what happens when these massive sheets of bedrock and boulders and things like that, when a fire runs over them, the temperature that's generated by the burning vegetation, it amps up very, very quickly. It just... massive amount of heat is exposed onto these rock surfaces. And the surfaces of the rock then try to expand as a result of being exposed to this heat. But what happens is the rock essentially explodes. It's like when you drop a rock into a campfire. You got to be careful because sometimes those rocks will explode. Well, the same thing can happen on a gigantic scale when you have these bushfires overrunning these rock outcrops. So if you have Aboriginal heritage sites in the overhangs and along the edges of these massive boulders where very frequently the Aboriginal people would live in those areas, what happens then is the fracturing of the bedrock when the fire goes over it can take away whatever rock art or evidence was on the walls of those boulders.
What was on those boulders, says Steve Ahoy, is thought to be at least 500 years old, very rare and hugely significant. And losing it, he says, was both preventable and devastating.
What I can tell you is that basically that art site in itself is like a book or a guideline on how you process that ceremony or the story that the artwork is telling and how it's related to the landscape and other art sites related on it.
However, according to Dr. Mann, there are silver linings within all of this devastating loss.
Potentially with this opening up of land and the burning of vegetation, there might be the possibility of finding new sites that we might not have known about or seen before.
One such site is the Budgebim Cultural Landscape, a place that was recently recognised on the UNESCO World Heritage List for its traditional aquaculture systems. CEO of the Gunditj Miring Traditional Owners Corporation, Damien Bell, spoke of the amazing discoveries as a result of the fires, a word not too often thrown around with regard to this fire season so far.
What was really strange and inspiring was the way the fires burnt. They really kept to the stones. And, you know, a lot of the community talk about our ancestors guiding the burn somehow, because this place hadn't been burnt out for a good 80 years, talking to some old people. And so we've always wanted to do burns out there. And, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, this bushfire come along and did the burn for us. So some old stuff has been revealed because it's been covered with vegetation for the past 80 years. So we're really excited with what we have found and what we're going to find. And just to really lay out that cultural landscape that is Budgebin.
And Bell's perspective on the bushfires and what can come of them is, to borrow a word from him, amazing.
You know, the bushfires right across the continent, it's been amazing. We've lost, 12 million hectares? The biggest fires on Earth. You've seen them from space. Climate change is a big part of that. Traditionally, we have six seasons on Gunditjmara country or across Gunditjmara country, and they're being put out of whack, you might as well say, with climate change. So when we look at country and when we look at how we do work, and we really have to evaluate how much climate change has changed our traditional seasons. And, you know, we're not coming out of blind. We've had climate change before. We've had tsunamis before down here. We've had huge droughts going back. You know, we know places out there that the mob built new infrastructure to mitigate against drought, you know, 4,000 years ago. So when we approach country with all the best of our ability and plus our engagement with a broader community, we really need to be mindful of what climate change is doing to us and what takes us forward.